From the Land of Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the fourth day of February 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's the Senior Grains Analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, DDGs have a new maritime classification. It should make it less costly to export the ethanol co-product. And a longtime Central Nebraska ethanol producer is set to shut down its plant. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories later in the half hour. Also this half hour, we'll hear about crop rotation budgets, which are pointing to a big year for corn planting. I'll have more on the reasons why from Gary Schnitke. Hey, don't forget that in just 26 minutes, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast, and that it all happens right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
Let's check the numbers as they settled up in Chicago for this Monday afternoon. These are closes and not settlement prices. They came at 2 o'clock this afternoon, Central Time. March contract and the soft red winter wheat down 2, and it just turned to a settlement price. Remains 2 lower at $6, or rather $7.63. May futures there at 770 and 3 quarters, down 2.5 on its settlement. In July at 776. Down 2.25 for the harvest month soft red in Chicago, the hard red in Kansas City at $8.35 on a close, down 7.25 from Chicago in the corn pit. These are closes and not settlement prices. 7.34 and 3 quarters, a penny and a quarter lower. May futures at 7.35 and 3 quarters, down 2. And July at 7.27, down 1.75. September corn at 6.17 and a quarter, a penny higher. December futures at $5.93 and a quarter. They're up a penny and 3 quarters. Bean futures in the March contract at $14.87.5, up 13.25. May at $14.79, 13.5 higher. And July soybeans at $14.70, up 14.75. November beans $13.44.25, up 11.75 for the day. Bean meal futures finished at $4.34.30, up 6.10. Bean oil at $53.11, 12 cents higher. Live cattle futures in the April at $132.27.5 on a settlement, up a dime. April feeders at $152.40, up 27.5, and lean hogs finished the April down 40 at $88.35. This is the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, March contract, $1.49 lower for the day at $96.28. The RBOB gasoline at $3 a penny and 6 tenths. That's down 3 and 7 tenths of a cent. And the ethanol at $2.44 is 2 and 9 tenths of a cent lower on the afternoon. Natural gas at $3.31 and 9 tenths, a penny and 8 tenths higher. The heating oil or diesel fuel at $3.15.5. Down a half of a cent for the day, and the gold futures at $1,675.70 an ounce, up $5.80. The U.S. dollar trading 79.5. That's up 0.43. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service. For the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon, cloudy skies, a high of 36 degrees on a west wind at 9 to 11 miles an hour. It'll turn to the northwest and gust all the way to 15. And then this evening, mostly cloudy skies, a low of 18 degrees on a northwest wind at 6 to 11 miles an hour. Tomorrow for Tuesday, our skies will be partly cloudy and a low of 21, or rather that's Tuesday night for the low of 21, partly sunny during the day and a high of 34, light southwest winds tomorrow. Becoming southerly at 13 to 18 miles an hour, gusting all the way to 24. We'll usher in those clouds by the time we get to Tuesday night and drop us to a low of 21. Wednesday, mostly sunny skies again, a high of 36 on a north wind by then at 5 to 8. And then Wednesday evening, mostly cloudy and 29 degrees. A chance of rain or freezing rain before noon on Thursday, at least at this moment. And then a chance of rain, mostly cloudy, and a high of 43 degrees on Thursday. Precipitation chance for Thursday set at 50%. We'll take a more complete look at the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Monday afternoon. This is the fourth day of February 2013. I'm Todd Gleason on the phone line with us. Let's take a look at the futures markets. Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, I'm first of all looking forward. I will be there. I won't be hosting tonight. Dave should do that job this evening, but at the Farm Credit Services building to seeing you and Jackie Vakes and Matt Bennett and Dave in action. At about 7 o'clock this evening, although they'd like you to register, I guess, around 6, and they have a meal around 6:30 or so. So, and it's open, so if anybody wants to come, that's perfectly fine, and you'll get a chance to see Kurt in action this evening. Got any particular points that you're going to try to stress with the crowd tonight?
Well, I think the theme is managing risk. As a producer, when you look at some of these cash flow estimates that they've done personally, and even some of the university studies that have been put out here this winter, it does indicate net farm income is the higher end, even though not everyone's in that particular situation. But for the most part, we're looking at a situation where the risk is to the downside, and I think that the main theme as we go in the spring would be to come up or implement strategies to protect that downside in case we do have favorable growing conditions and this economy doesn't keep chugging along like it has been so far this winter.
Let's talk about old crop for just a second. Those are kind of new crop sorts of things, although they can roll back into the old crop. Most believe is kind of a tough word because just it's a matter of fact, they were short of crop at this point. How much longer do you suppose we can continue with the higher prices that we have for old crop corn in particular?
Well, we believe the price is going to hold in there. And if you're one that still has cash grain left, the story there is that there's none around, and I'm the only one that has it. And the basis is going to be extremely strong, and they're going to have to pry it loose. So that's sort of the cat and mouse situation that we're going to see as we move forward here, is that the cash holder is going to be patient and wait for that demand to surface. But however, the end user has been fairly aggressive here. They've been under the gun for the last couple years because they've waited and had to chase the market higher. They were fairly aggressive this past year and this winter, and has fairly good coverage on. They don't have 100% coverage on, but some of these end users are booked clear out to June. So it's going to be a situation where there's going to be some hot bids around, and you have to be flexible enough to take advantage of that, because not these bids aren't going to be, you know, real hot everywhere. We feel that on this old crop, you need to use the strength in here to get the grain priced and to a level where you're down to gambling inventory. If we would run into some weather concerns later on the growing season, we could maybe move a little higher. But 750 seems to be the upper end of the range here. When you look at the ending stocks estimates from clear back in August until now, it seems that if, when you factor that in, and you factor in the price range, about 7.5 is probably going to catch it the upside here unless something happens to give reason to go much higher than that.
It's fairly clear that the export market, which is at a 43-year low, and then the livestock market, which has shrunk numbers dramatically in the beef cattle, at least, if nothing else, have already taken the brunt of the hit of the drought. But we continue to hear about plants, and we'll hear again another one later in the news segment today, for ethanol that have shut down. Does this concern you much?
Yeah, because for the first time in history, the end user said in your face, for say, they backed off and said, you know, I'm not going to buy it. Here's the keys. You can have it. The end user has looked for alternative sources. And what's happened is that was okay this past year because we have ample supplies of world feed wheat, domestic feed wheat to use. So it can get quite interesting as we move in this new crop year if we would run into another tight production. You know, will they still have that mentality or that attitude again? But we've, first time in history, demand said no and backed off once we got to the $8 level. So in our mindset, we're looking at, you know, $7.50 kind of being the upper end of the range here until we see this demand base come back and get more solid footing. Because right now, they're comfortable not paying over $7.50 for corn.
What's your feeling about conditions across the nation as it concerns dry weather? I read an email today that suggested that the eastern third of the Corn Belt was in good shape. And then if you wanted to find a dividing line, it might be I-35, I suppose, running from Kansas City to Minneapolis.
I think that's fairly accurate. And as you move on west, it's kind of hit and miss. You know, there's been spotty, localized areas that's received some snow and some moisture to work with. That'll be the key here as we move into the spring. We continue to feel that the western wheat belt's going to continue to be under the gun here until this spring, and until they receive a little bit more timely moisture, until we get in the green up phase, for say, that's where most of the emphasis is going to be. Here in the eastern belt, you know, it's been a relief to see some moisture materialize. So we'll see what the spring weather brings. The main weather focus is going to be the southern hemisphere. There was some moisture and too much moisture in portions of Brazil, whereas Argentina continues to be dry, but it's not to a point where it was bad as last year. The Argentine corn crop good to excellent category is in this 83% good to excellent versus 87%. The Argentine bean crop is 88% good to excellent versus 91% good to excellent. So it's not like the South American crop is dropping down into this 20 to 30% good to excellent category.
Hey, thanks so much for taking the time.
Very good. Look forward to seeing you tonight, Todd.
You betcha. We'll see you this evening. That is Kurt Kimmel. He will be at the Farm Credit Services building in Mahomet. That's at the corner of, relatively speaking, Prairie View Road and the intersection there of Interstate 74. Registration at 6, and then there's a meal at 6:30, and you can listen in for him at about 7 o'clock along with Jackie Vakes and Matt Bennett. That's tonight there in Mahomet at the Farm Credit Services building.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by Justin Wood, Paul Stevens, Tim Smith, Scott Harms, and Mark Soderberg of Archer Financial Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm. You can learn more about the services they offer at 800-637-3123.
Now here's Dave with today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, the International Maritime Organization has officially classified DDGs as non-hazardous. Until 2 years ago, DDGs had no classification at all. Without any classifications, insurance companies and shippers were left to formulate their own opinion. Many consider DDGs as a hazardous material because of concerns that its oil and moisture content might be combustible. Having DDGs considered as hazardous made shipping more difficult, as DDGs were allowed only on ships with special fire suppression systems. Not only did that increase the cost of freight, but it resulted in disruptions in DDG shipments and difficulty in booking ships, as not all ships are equipped with the special fire equipment. The U.S. Grains Council is now in the midst of a similar process to clear corn gluten meal and corn gluten feed as non-hazardous. Russia's veterinary agency is carrying out a probe of U.S. chicken to see if it contains any residue of the growth stimulant ractopamine. Russia also confirmed that it plans to temporarily halt imports of U.S. turkey over the same feed additive starting February 11th. the agency had earlier decided to temporarily halt imports of U.S. pork and beef over the same reason starting on February the 11th. A longtime Central Nebraska ethanol producer has announced that it will shut down operation, citing negative margins as a result of low ethanol prices and ongoing drought conditions across the Midwest. Ag Processing Incorporated in Hastings announced on Friday in a news release that the shutdown would go into effect immediately. South Africa's labor minister has announced a new minimum wage for farm workers after violent strikes swept through portions of the country. The South African Press Association reported today that the new daily wage would be about $12 for manual laborers on the nation's farms. The minimum wage is now $7.80. Farm workers had wanted wages of nearly $17 a day. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media and the host of this evening's Ag Outlook panel at the Farm Credit Services Building right there in Mahomet, Illinois. That's just off of I-74 and Prairie View Road. 6 o'clock for registration. No pre-registration is necessary, so just show up. 6:30 for the meal. And then Dave and company will get started about 7:20 this evening. That at the Farm Credit Services Building in Mahomet. Tomorrow, I will be at the Farm Bureau Building in DeKalb County. That's in Sycamore, the Center for Agriculture, for an Ag Outlook panel with the folks at Castle Bank. Registration there starts at 1 o'clock. They have a really good event starting at 1 o'clock. We'll pick up with the Ag panel, including Joe Vaklevic, Jackie Vakes, and Dan Zwicker tomorrow in DeKalb at 3 o'clock, done by about 4:30 or so tomorrow. And then on Wednesday, we'll be in Peoria at the Civic Center for the Illinois Pork Expo. This is a big one. That happens at 1:30 in the afternoon. It costs $10 to get into the expo, but it is the expo at the Civic Center, so there's a really good exhibit hall. And you'll find there Sue Martin and Dan Zwicker and David Nelson, who's with Rabobank and takes care of all the domestic red meat supply and demand across the planet for that financial institution. Should be a great program. And then on Thursday of this week, Dave Dickey will be in Casey at Richards Farm Restaurant. I think that one starts at 10 o'clock in the morning. We'll be really busy. Looking forward to seeing you at one of those four events. They're all happening this week. You can find all the details online at our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. Now, up next, you know, the crop rotation budgets put together at the University of Illinois point to a great big year for corn planting. I'll have more on the reasons why. The reason farmers in the state of Illinois will plant more corn acres this season in other states, too, thanks to University of Illinois farm management specialist Gary Schnittke, is pretty simple. It pays better than planting soybeans.
We looked at corn versus soybeans for 2013, and in particular, we divided that down into corn after soybeans, corn after corn, continuous corn, and then soybeans in various combinations with following corn. And not surprisingly, we found that corn, even continuous corn with yield drags, is more profitable than soybeans. So if you're looking at just a single year, corn is going to be more profitable than soybeans. And for 2013, the difference between corn versus soybeans is wider than you would usually expect to see. Over the past 6 years or since the early 2000s, we've seen corn average about $53 higher than soybeans. If you look at our budgets, we're closer to $100 now.
That's an extra $100 per acre earned just on the decision to plant corn rather than soybeans. Admittedly, it is a short-sighted, economics-driven look at the farm. As Schnittke says, the most profitable corn rotation for highly productive Illinois soils over time is corn, corn, soybeans. Given that reality, corn remains the winner for this year. Thanks, Gary Schnittke.
The big thing for 2013 is it still looks like corn is going to be more profitable than soybeans, and we're going to have relatively high prices for corn, given that we given that we have a normal crop in 2013, if we have a normal crop, we can begin to think of corn in the high fours. So do you want to have a good year in 2013 and reap some of those higher corn prices, or wait a year and you'll be giving up something in 2014? That's pretty much the decision. Do you want more this year and then have lower returns in 2014?
Let me repeat that statement. Choosing to plant corn this year under normal growing conditions should result in higher net returns, but could very well come at the cost of lower returns in 2014 by forcing more soybean acres into that growing season. You may look at Schnitke's work online at the Farm Doc Daily website. Look for the headline, More Corn in 2013. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Monday afternoon. Michael Yeomans of the Andersons right here in Champaign County joins us to take a look at the cash grain market this afternoon. Hi, Michael. How are you?
Good. How are you, Todd?
I'm doing very, very well. So let's talk about what producers did last week. It appears that many decided that it was a good week to market not only old crop corn, but new crop corn and maybe a few beans. What happened there at the Andersons?
Exactly. That's what we're seeing here. You know, old crop's getting a rally on the board, broke through some levels around that 735 mark we were having trouble breaking. And I think also, you know, with the lack of corn interest on new crop going above 6, we're also seeing some producers getting some new crop sold for, you know, looking at 570, 580 cash.
Now, from your perspective there, as one who is a purchaser, is this a place you think producers ought to be making some new crop sales?
Yeah, I think new crop is going to have a struggle to break the $6 mark on futures unless we would, you know, have planting issues or a weather issue this summer. I would assume that we see a pattern like last year where we continue to grind lower into the planting season.
Yeah, from this point last year into the planting season, it was kind of a long, really tough, maybe even scary haul, I suppose, to the downside, that is.
Correct, because we had a 568 Feb average last year, and I think early June we traded about 499.5 before we took off.
Can we take the old crop up just a bit? What do you think about total usage for the year? Will it change very much from what USDA has been stating?
It's going to be interesting with ethanol demand to see how many plants remain open, and we're hearing about a lot of closings, across the Midwest, and I think that could change our demand as we go into summer.
Can I ask you another question about the closings? Do you think those closings are coming in from independent plants, or are they coming from plants like yours? And there will be some of these that have an end user in mind always, so that, you know, are the Anderson / Marathon plants, the ADM plants, which are aligned sometimes with other places, less likely to close than the independents?
I'd say that's correct. You know, some of these plants have the ability to load rail, so even if they weren't going to grind for ethanol, they could still have the ability to load out rail to the southeast or wherever the corn needs to go.
Your bids for the day?
Today we're at $7.59 on cash corn, and beans we're at $15.02.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd.
That's Michael Yeomans. He's with the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Joins us on the Closing Market Report for Monday afternoon. Back in 2 minutes, we'll take a look at the weather forecast with folks up at Chesapeake Energy on the 23rd floor of the Boeing Building in Chicago.
It's National Stuffed Mushroom Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1790, John Bachman was born, a naturalist and Lutheran minister. He wrote some of the text for John James Audubon's albums of birds and mammals of North America. He also published his own works on botany, agriculture, and southern animals. In 1810, Alexis Soyer was born, a French chef and author. He opened kitchens in Ireland during the famine to sell food at one-half price, and he was also the inventor of several stoves and kitchen utensils. In 1824, J.W. Goodrich introduced rubber galoshes, thin rubber boots to fit over shoes during inclement weather. In 1906, Clyde W. Tombaugh was born, an American astronomer. He discovered Pluto in 1930. Born on a farm near Streator, Illinois, his first telescope was made from old farm equipment parts. In 1930, candy maker Frank C. Mars of Minnesota introduced the Snickers bar. And in 1941, Roy J. Plunkett received a U.S. patent for Teflon. He discovered it by accident in 1938. And that's this day in agricultural history.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
This is the closing market report. It is a Monday afternoon. On the phone line from Chicago, up on the 23rd floor of the Boeing building at Chesapeake Energy, looking at the agricultural weather forecast, is Mark Russo. Good afternoon to you, Mark.
Hey, good afternoon, Todd.
Not as chilly here today, but I think maybe you're a little cooler than we are there in Chicago.
Yeah, with the 4 to 5 inches of snow we have on the ground here, that's keeping temperatures a bit on the cold side, although readings will be warming up over the next few days as some of that warmer air from the southwest and down by you here moves into our area and melt a little bit of the snow. But overall here, it looks like we're getting into at least out of more of the extreme cold that we've been in, at least temporarily, we think, over the next week or so. Indications of another good shot of cold coming in next week.
I made note from one of the analysts who called and said, hey, did you see the numbers from the Mississippi River? The flows are up 7 feet from January the 23rd. That's quite something, I suppose.
Yeah, and a lot of that has to do with the big pre-sub event that happened a week ago. And we saw numerous areas of the Midwest here receive 1 to 2 inches, even some isolated heavier rain amounts here, and that went into particularly the central southern areas of the Mississippi River, Ohio River, some of the tributaries here to the Mississippi. So that's helped improve things. We still need to improve things more up north towards Minnesota, and that area has not received as much precip as areas further south.
Do you have a dividing line across the Midwest where we are catching up on rainfall and where we're just woefully low still?
Well, I guess still it depends on the time frame of note here. When you look back still over the past 3 to 4 months, still the vast majority of the country here in the Midwest and Plains has been on the dry side. Have even with a big precip event last week, that still did very little to make up some of these longer-term precip deficits and improvement in soil moisture and river levels. While improved here compared to a week or two ago, we still have quite some time here. So really tough to gauge a specific area, but obviously the more the better. And we do see some additional opportunities here coming up, both for the Plains and the Midwest, as we see additional systems track across the area. So some gradual improvement or continuation of improvement still expected here coming up.
Your weather forecast for South America?
Well, we continue to see a lack of significant precip in areas of Argentina, and along with that, continued above normal temperatures. So Argentina continues to be the worry spot here. This pattern that developed in January, which actually from a precip total ended up being the driest January since 1995 across Argentina. We see that here persisting at least the first half of February. So Argentina is a concern spot. Brazil, we have limited concern, if any concerns there. But focus is on Argentina.
All right. Thanks so much, Mark.
You're welcome, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Chesapeake Energy out of Chicago, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Monday afternoon. If you get a chance, hit one of our Ag Outlook panels. You can find them all at willag.org tonight. We'll be at the Farm Credit Services Building about 6 o'clock right there in Mahmoud, Illinois.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.